This story belongs to a friend of mine. He told me this once, and I simply have to tell it here. My friend is of Native American heritage, and is part of a tribe who reside in the Pacific Northwest coast. He is quite the character. For one, he's a whopping 6'10", and has the blackest eyes you could imagine. He always has this frowning face going on, which makes him even more intimidating. But he's not a bad guy. In fact, he's the most gentle of giants. He was working at a gas station back in 1992, and he pretty much always worked the graveyard shift from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. Business wasn't exactly booming at nights, so he was usually watching TV, or reading magazines between customers, and there were a few. One night he was sitting as usual watching TV, when a customer entered the gas station. The guy paid for his gas, a pack of smokes, and some soda, and returned to his car. Nothing unusual. But my friend looked out the window toward the customer's car, and he spotted what looked like a huge dog sitting by the edge of the woods. Now the window was located on the side of the building, some distance from a sliding door, overlooking the gas pumps. On the sides of the roof above the gas pumps are pretty strong halogen lights, which shine into the gas station. This gives the gas station not only an eerie lighting, with blinds casting long striped shadows, but it also blinds the teller to an extent. As he peered through the window, trying to focus on the dog, it was gone. He didn't think much of it, even if it was a wolf. He was inside, and wolves don't tend to rob gas stations at night. They were pretty common around here, but this one was huge. He brushed it off and returned to his mindless watching of the TV. A couple of hours go by, and not a single customer has entered since the last one. He was just about to refill some condiments, when he heard a huge thud coming from the back. It didn't come from inside. It came from behind the building where they kept the garbage. The gas station had been visited before by scavenging homeless, but my friend didn't really care. It was just garbage after all. Let them take it. But the noise kept getting louder. He grabbed a flashlight and a gun from the office and circled around back to tell whoever was there to leave, as he had had enough. His presence alone could have scared off anyone, but he wanted to feel safe just in case. He exited through the sliding doors, walking past the window he was just sitting by. He turned the corner and shined his light toward the dumpsters. As the cone of light hit the dumpsters, my friend instantly drops his flashlight and the gun. It was the huge dog he saw before. It wasn't a dog, though. It clearly stood on its hind legs, reaching the same height as himself. It couldn't have been a bear as it was too gaunt. The creature's eyes had been glowing in the rays of the flashlight, making it even more terrifying. He ran inside the station, locked the door, and stayed inside the whole night, and quit the very next day. My friend is still convinced that what he saw was a skinwalker, a shape-shifting shaman of sorts that are a common occurrence in Native American lore and culture. I've always been a bit of a skeptic, ever since I was a kid. Scary stories don't faze me, horror games never frighten me, and whenever I hear something weird at night, I instantly assume that it's something normal, an animal or just a house settling. Despite this, something very unnerving happened to me the other day, and I'm not really sure what to make of it. It's the first time in years that I've been genuinely frightened. I live in a forested area in the US. Me and my girlfriend live in a large cabin, and although there are roads nearby, our nearest neighbor is at least a kilometer away. We also have two cats, one of which sleeps in the bedroom with us, while the other often goes out at night and does whatever cats do when they're out of sight. Anyway, I stay up late at night and sleep into the mornings, whereas my girlfriend is an early bird. It was about 1 a.m. in the morning, and I was watching some crappy TV show in the living room while my girlfriend slept in the bedroom, when I heard something outside near our cat flap. For clarity, our cat flap uses an electronic chip, so only our cats can use it. I assumed that it was just one of the cats coming into or leaving the house, and I just ignored it. Then I heard it again. It sounded like something thudding against our cabin. It happened several times at random intervals. I lost my patience and decided to just go open the door. Clearly the cat was having some trouble getting in. I passed the bedroom and peered in as I walked past, to see if my girlfriend had heard the noises as well, She was fast asleep, but the cat that sleeps with us was staring at the window. I called her name, but she didn't even look over at me. She just kept staring. I shrugged it off and kept heading towards the kitchen. The back doors are through there as well. I reached the back door and saw a dark shape through the translucent door flap. I sighed, expecting the cat to be out there, and opened the door. The door opened fully, and I froze. It wasn't my cat. Whatever it was, it started moving before I opened up, and I only caught a glimpse of a distorted figure. It kind of looked like a tailless dog bolting away, and I mean it was absolutely pelting it. I freaked out and slammed the door shut. What the hell was that? I wasn't sure. My natural skepticism kicked in, and I assumed that it was just my other cat, and I had merely startled it. Perhaps the darkness had made it appear larger. Nevertheless, I was creeped out, and I decided to go to sleep. As I slipped into bed, I realized something horrifying. The second cat was asleep on the rug. It took me a while to get to sleep that night. Everything seemed normal until a few hours later. I awoke to a strange feeling of dread. Something wasn't right. My girlfriend was still sleeping. I held my breath, and I heard something creaking by my door. It sounded too loud to be one of the cats. It was as if a person was walking around. I reached towards my bedside cabinet and flicked on the lamp. The room was illuminated, and I saw something standing just outside my open bedroom door, staring at me. It was the same twisted figure that I had spotted outside earlier. It wasn't very tall, maybe a little over 5 feet, but it was its face that scared me the most. I only caught a glimpse of it, but what I saw will stay with me forever. It looked like a dog, but with an elongated face, with almost human-looking eyes. You know that weird distorted snarl that hounds pull when they're pissed? It had that same expression. I instantly started shouting profanities as I scrambled backwards, trying to straighten up. The creature turned and sprinted down the hall. I heard it dash outside and go past the window behind us, just above the headboard. I managed to look outside, as my girlfriend started to panic as she fully woke up. We both caught a glimpse of whatever the hell this thing was as it dashed off into the woods near our home. Grabbing my trusty shotgun from beneath the bed, as well as a couple of rounds from the ammo box that sits next to it, I ran out of my room in my underwear and made my way into the kitchen. The back door was open. I had forgotten to lock it when I first saw this thing. I haven't seen it since, and we still live in that same cabin. I have bought sturdy locks for all the main doors and windows in the house, and I always check the exit points at night. I also go to bed a bit earlier than I used to, so I'm asleep when the freaks of the night start to wake up. I've read a bunch of forums online, and the only thing I can compare it to, based on what I saw, is a creature referred to as a skinwalker. I don't consider myself to be a very superstitious person. Okay, I get a kick out of horoscope every once in a while, and my boyfriend and I like to humor the idea that spirits and poltergeists exist, and how we would haunt people when we died and came back as ghosts. In fact, my boyfriend refuses to go anywhere near a Ouija board, refuses to even think about it. I blame all those crummy horror films that he watches. "Why even tempt it?" he would say. "Why would you even want to taunt evil spirits like that? Ghosts don't play fair, and if you piss one off, you're screwed." I don't think he was ever 100% serious, just precautionary. This story happened a while ago, but I'm still shaken, and I can barely write it out without my nerves acting up. So a while ago, my mom, sister, and I went to Colorado for an entire week on vacation. We were going to drive all over the state, visit parks and go horseback riding and whitewater rafting, and so much more. I was excited, and I sorely needed a break from work. We drove the 16 hours out there, and spent the first day rafting down the rivers. After an exciting day, we drove to a ranch to go horseback riding. We got there at sunset, so it was too dark to ride, but we had all the next day to ride the trails and see the sights. The ranch was a bit dumpy. There was run-down scraps of steel everywhere, and the shoddy cabins that we were staying in were in desperate need of repair. I swear the roof over our shack of a cabin was a giant piece of drywall with shingles stapled to the top. My sister and I thoroughly checked the place for spiders and bugs before we even thought about bringing our luggage inside. It was only for the night, I reassured myself. Just one night in a dumpy shack on a rock-hard bed that probably had bed bugs underneath the sheets. I shuddered at the thought. My mom tried to cheer us up. She had brought skewers and a pack of giant beef hot dogs to roast over the communal fire pit. Happy to get out of the shack, my sister and I made a nice cozy fire. And soon a few other people from the other cabins came out to sit around the fire and started roasting s'mores and sharing stories. We talked about where we were from, where we were going, and our adventures along the way. Pretty soon the stories turned into tall tales and urban legends. The sort of stuff that you would usually tell around a bonfire. That's when I spoke up. I loved stories, especially scary ones. And hey, we're out west. Why not liven the place up with my favorite Indian myth, the legend of the Skinwalkers? Now for those of you who don't know, Skinwalkers are considered very evil, very dangerous beings. They were humans who gained the ability to take on the form of an animal by wearing its skin, usually through very dark and taboo magic. I knew all this and told my story. Who doesn't love a good ghost story? Everyone seemed to be enjoying it. I admit I did take some creative liberties with it. Really just retelling an old werewolf story, but with a skinwalker instead. I bullshitted a lot of the story, and added a few things that weren't in the mythos at all. I gave our beloved frightening skinwalker wide, crazed eyes, with pinpoints for pupils with a matching insane smile. I made the skinwalker horribly misshapen with swollen joints, and arms that were too long, and legs that were too short, and a head that never sat straight on its shoulders. I made it as terrifying as I could imagine. No one minded. They actually really enjoyed it, and a man from Kentucky admitted that the visuals alone were enough to creep him out. Victory in my book, if you ask me. Once I was done, everyone decided that it was getting late. Our firewood was dwindling, and it was as good a time as any to turn in for the night. We packed up our skewers and s'mores, doused the fire, and headed back into our little shacks. I tossed and turned trying to fall asleep. I couldn't get comfortable on that damn bed. A rock was probably cozier than that mattress. So against my better judgment, I got out of bed and walked about the cabin. I reasoned to myself that if I stayed up late enough, I would be so tired that I would fall asleep no matter what I was laying on. I think I briefly contemplated sleeping on the floor, but I wasn't that desperate yet. It was pitch black outside, no lights on from any nearby street lamps, no car headlights, hell, not even the cabin lights were on, and I don't remember seeing a single car. It was a bit creepy. But I shrugged off the shiver creeping up my back as simply the cold tile flooring, making me shake. I did, however, find it odd that there weren't any lights on at all. You would think there would be a floodlight on the horse stables or the main office, but no, there was nothing. This was really weird. I stepped outside on my flip-flops to get a better look. I could barely make out the ranch, and for some stupid reason, I decided to go walking around. Eventually, my eyes adjusted to where I could see enough to move around. I paced up and down the road where the cabin sat and circled around to the fenced-in field where the horses were. Except the horses weren't there. They were probably in the stables for the night. It was getting awfully cold. I turned around to head back to my own cabin. It was stupid of me to be out all alone at an obscene hour, and I needed to head back to bed. But when I turned, there was something in the middle of the road. Its shape was swallowed up by the surrounding darkness. I could barely make it out. It was tall and thin. I shrugged it off as just a pole or something, and kept walking, but then it moved. I froze. My breath caught in my throat, and I could barely breathe. I had just imagined that, I told myself. I just imagined it, and I'm freaking myself out. Get your head on straight. But then it moved again. My paralyzed throat managed to squeak out a pathetically weak whimper as my legs began to lose strength. I shivered violently against the cold that was building up inside of me. My eyes began to focus on the impossibly dark figure. Now I could see it. It was a person, but like nothing I had ever seen before. Its arms were impossibly long, its legs were too short, and it had a torso that was far too long for its rail-thin body, and a head much too big for its stick neck. Its right arm was sticking out to its side, swinging up and down. Its blockish head rolled onto its left shoulder, jerking and twitching up and down. It didn't move other than that. It just stood there, twitching, head rolling around on its shoulders. I stood there like the dumbass I was. My cabin was a few hundred yards behind that thing, and I wasn't stupid enough to try and walk past it. My only option was to go around, behind the cabins and stables, and hope that it didn't see me. I forced myself to lift my foot off the ground and stepped backwards. My flip-flop made a wet smacking sound as it flopped against my foot, and I immediately froze in horror. The thing stopped too. It stood there perfectly straight, perfectly still, listening. I stayed as still as I could. My breath was shallow and panicked, and I tried to force myself to slow down before I started wheezing. My heart thundered in my chest. My whole body was shaking, but I didn't move, and neither did it. I began to slowly bend over and slip my feet out of those damn flip-flops. My feet touched the dirt and gravel, but at least now I could move silently. I spared a quick glance to the side to see where I was going. Two cabins were immediately to my right. I could slip between them with ease, as there was no visible debris between them. I only looked away for a second, but when I turned back, the thing was gone. It was gone, and I knew at that moment it was coming for me. Yet my body would not move. I was paralyzed to the spot. I couldn't move no matter how loud my head screamed at me to run. It was then that I heard something behind me. I turned instinctively. I was greeted with two bulging eyes, staring at me unblinking with two black pinholes for pupils. It had an insane smile that was stretched far too wide to be anything remotely human. My paralysis broke as I stared at that fucking thing. I ran, crying my eyes out, trying to scream, but a horrible lead weight in my throat silenced me. My feet pounded on the dirt, and I stomped over anything in my way. I even scraped my foot on a sharp rock, but I didn't care, and just kept running. I felt the cold creeping up my back. It was sinking right into my bones, and I couldn't stop shaking or sobbing. I didn't stop until I burst through the cabin doors and deadbolted the lock behind me. I leapt into bed and huddled under the blankets, hiding my head. I then gasped and shook for breath. I eventually calmed down and waited. I didn't sleep that entire night. I was too scared. I couldn't get rid of that chill. All I thought about was that thing, standing there and twitching. Morning finally broke, and I allowed myself a breath of relief. Whatever I had seen had not come for me, and now that it was light, it couldn't take me by surprise. My mom noticed my bleeding foot and the blood I tracked through the cabin, but I shrugged it off, said that I cut myself the night before while making s'mores. I don't think she believed me, but she didn't push it. We left not long after that. As we were leaving, I looked at the place where I had been standing the night before, and I shuddered, but I assured myself there was nothing. We said goodbye to the ranchers and our companions, and I noticed the man from Kentucky who said he thoroughly enjoyed my story. He told me again how much he liked it, and said he was going to tell his own kids when he got back home. He told me that they really liked scary stories. As we drove away, the man's head rolled onto his left shoulder, and he smiled a wide, insane smile as he waved us goodbye.
There's always a reason to be afraid.